Hello, it's Tuesday, August 8th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. Tuesday afternoon here. We'd like to thank Mr. Vinny Sammartino. He did a review for us. It's on the Wing TV homepage right now. Vinny's the author of an article about the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund and also
the Flight 93 passenger list oddities.
Correct. And it's one of the best articles ever written about 9/11. One that we don't think has gotten enough attention yet and the contents of this article, but we'd like to thank Vinny for the work he's done. Also, if you go to the Wing TV homepage, you'll see all kind of news updates like every day. Of particular interest is a video of comedian Jackie Mason. He was on Fox News yesterday. He was on Neil Cavuto's show, a show that every once in a while we get to see for a couple minutes when we're eating supper. And they invited Jackie Mason on this show to pile on against Mel Gibson. Now, everybody knows Jackie Mason's Jewish, so they figured, well, this would be a safe bet. Bring him on here, and everybody's ganging up on Mel Gibson. Everybody in Hollywood hates him, blah, blah, blah. Well, Jackie Mason comes in and completely turns the tables on Fox News and on Abraham Foxman, the head of the ADL. It's a great, great video. And what he basically did was just say, look at all these people out there, these losers that are ganging up on Mel Gibson. He'd never work with them in the first place anyways. He's 1,000 times more successful. And then there's Abe Foxman, who makes his life out of supposedly battling racism when he's the biggest race baiter of everyone. And then he says, the only reason this guy has his job is because he doesn't want to go out and get a real job in the world. So take a look at this. And
yeah, I think he mentioned Al Sharpton, too.
Yeah.
He says how these people, they make their living trying to find racism wherever they can because they make money off of it. And so they have to, at every turn,
right,
they see racism. I mean, that's what they do.
Exactly.
Whether there is any or not.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall inside the Fox newsroom and inside the ADL when Jackie Mason... flipped this whole thing around on them. I bet they were like throwing cups and saucers at the wall and screaming at each other on the phone. And Jackie Mason's there chuckling his brains out. So
yeah, I think he said when a person bangs their head on a wall and breaks their head on the wall when they're drunk, did they mean to break their head on the wall? Well, no, they were drunk. He says when a person's drunk, they could hit their own mother.
Yeah.
Does that mean when they're straight that they meant to hit their own mother? No.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be honest here. I think Mel Gibson meant everything he said when he was drunk.
I mean, that was his opinion.
Right.
So why does he have to apologize for his own personal opinion? If that's the way he thinks, that's the way he thinks.
Yeah. I think the only thing Mel Gibson did wrong that night was he drove after he was drunk. That was what he did wrong. Everything else beyond that, he should have stood up and said, screw all of you. This is my opinion. This is the way I feel. And if you guys want to have a debate about this, let's debate it. Then you would have seen all of them run for the hills. But what Mel Gibson did is he allowed himself to be taken hostage by these people. And that's the reason why it turned out the way it did. But anyway, two thumbs up to Mr. Jackie Mason. Well done. Now, a couple programming notes tomorrow. We're going to talk about the murder. That's right, the murder of John F. Kennedy Jr. On Thursday, we're going to have a guest on to speak about the war in the Middle East and Zionism. And then Friday, we're going to talk about our latest poll, the Best New World Order book. But what we're going to do that is bump it till next Monday, because we're going to talk about something else. This was kind of a last-minute thing. So, well, that's the way we're going to do that. Now, as for the war in the Middle East, real quickly, with Israel, we could spend the whole show, literally the whole show,
Every day,
recouping and discussing Israel's atrocities, war crimes, their inhumanity, their brutality, their savagery.
The slaughter of innocent civilians in both Palestine and Lebanon. We could also talk about how many more people are dying on a daily basis in Iraq.
Right. But in regard to Israel, And you can find all these on the Wing TV homepage. Real quickly, they asked the UN that when there is a so-called ceasefire or whatever, that they want the UN to leave the door open so they can have future attacks on Lebanon, Syria, Iran,
and whoever they feel like.
Also, Israel says that the killing of civilians is acceptable. I guess they're the only people in the entire world that think this way. They've also threatened to kill all UN workers that are involved in repairing bridges in Lebanon. Now they're actually even going against the UN, threatening to kill them. They've already killed UN workers when they when they bombed that lookout observatory in southern Lebanon. And what they're basically doing is, it's a full-scale destruction of Lebanon. And do you think they're going to stop there?
No.
Do you think they're going to stop with this brutality?
They're not going to stop until the world makes them stop. And I guess that will also mean stopping the United States government.
Yeah. A couple other things before we get on to our main topic. There was a cartoon in a newspaper on Sunday, Doonesbury, very libby-lib, you know, anti-Bush, liberal, Democrat, and so forth. But it was kind of amusing because there was a Bush press conference. And one of the reporters stands up and says that he's noticed that whenever George Bush frames a debate, it's always on his own terms. So it's like, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Another example would be is, do you prefer a war in Iraq or do you want mushroom clouds over New York City? Or would you rather fight the terrorists in Iraq or do you want to fight them on our shores? And he says, the debates always seem to be between options that they choose. So then the reporter says, well, what if we turn this around? And said, and this is the exact frame in a comic. It says, it's the same as if we were to ask you, which do you prefer, admitting you're wrong about the war in Iraq or tearing the country apart? And George Bush real quickly says, tearing the country apart. And then he says, oh, wait, can we try another one?
He's probably like the only person who'd fail a multiple choice test.
Well, because he, yeah.
Or an open book test.
Yeah. Finally, we got an email from someone named Philip. And he said that he was bored one day, and so he goes on the 911truth.org site. And he was curious to see what was on their message board and what they were discussing. So he got on it, and he figured, well, why doesn't he post something about the book 9/11 Evil, Israel's Central Role in the September 11, 2001 Terrorist Attacks? And he'll see what kind of debate or what kind of discussion will result. Well, he said he posted this, and then they went out and got a bite to eat, came back, and he was going to check to see what kind of response he got. He goes on to the 911truth.org message board, and his posting had been deleted. So in other words, he was trying to see what kind of debate or discussion there'd be. Well, he found his answer. None. Because Israel's role in 9/11 isn't allowed to be discussed.
Which forum was this?
911truth.org.
Oh, my. What a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising. So what we're going to do is go in there and make our own post and see what they say about it. And
well, you'll have to do that because I've been banned.
You've been banned and stuff. Well, isn't it amazing that this group that calls themselves truth seekers is doing more than probably any other entity there is in protecting one of the primary culprits, one of the primary terrorist attackers against this country, the nation of Israel?
Yeah. Hey, I've got an idea. If anybody in the public wants to join that forum and post things about Israel's involvement in 9/11 or post about this book, feel free to go ahead. I can't because I have been exiled from the gatekeeper zone, but you certainly can.
Right. Now, here's what we're going to talk about today. It's something that we've avoided almost entirely for a couple years now, I guess.
Well, not really, because we came out with a response when Morgan Reynolds put out an article on the subject.
Yeah. Well, I said almost entirely. So we've stayed away from it because we think, in all honesty, that it's absolutely preposterous. And that is, there's primarily three people, that are saying that no planes hit the World Trade Center
towers. There's a couple more that are pushing this no plane at the World Trade Center towers agenda, too.
But, I mean, there's three right at the core. Nico Haupt, Webb Ferry, and Gerard Holmgren. Okay, those are the three. And we've ignored it. We've shied away from it. We've pushed it to the side because we're like, this is ridiculous. It's like the emperor wearing no clothes. Everybody sees him walking down the middle of the street, and they know it's ridiculous, but nobody says anything about it. Well, this here, it's so obvious that it's a hoax, that it's insanity. It's like a mass craziness that's taken this little cabal of people, and they spend the entirety of their time trying to convince others that no planes hit the towers.
And when they fail to convince others, then they become vicious, right. And they start attacking. And we've tried to explain to people that considering all the different vantage points that private citizens, independent camera people and filmmakers and the different viewpoints, the different perspectives, the different people on the street as opposed to people in office building windows across the river on 9/11, people right there at the scene felt, heard the airplanes. We've got multiple reports, numerous reports from rescue workers and so forth and survivors talking about planes hitting the towers.
Okay, so we wouldn't even bring this up, but a couple days ago we saw a post on the internet that there's the potential for a debate next month, September 6th, I believe, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., between Morgan Reynolds and Stephen Jones, Professor Stephen Jones. Now, we don't know if this is going to take place, but this is one of the most prestigious media venues in the country.
Mainstream media venues.
Yes. The National Press Club. Anybody who's anybody has spoken at this venue, okay? So, we figured this is getting big now. And we see the potential for a complete disaster happening with this. So what I did was I called on, I believe, Sunday afternoon, I called Morgan Reynolds. And I said, hey, is this for real? Is there a potential debate there at the National Press Club about this no plane stuff? He says, well, I'm going to be there. I said, okay. Now I says, let me ask you, let's get down to brass tacks here. And Morgan's a no bullshit kind of guy, and I'm a no bullshit kind of guy. I said, Morgan, I've looked at all this stuff. I've listened to the interviews. I've read the posts. I've went through these long, long articles. I said, I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. So what we did today is Lisa put together a photo gallery. You can find it on the Wing TV homepage, center column, all the way at the bottom, okay? And as Lisa said, there are so many different vantage points and so many different photographs.
And these weren't even all the photos that are available of the second plane hitting the South Tower or approaching the South Tower.
Mm-hmm.
But these are some of the photos, and we've included in this little video clip a series of photos taken by private citizens who were in One State Plaza, New York City,
right,
on the morning of 9/11, who had a very good vantage point. It's the very first series of five photos at the beginning of this clip that you're going to see. On our homepage, the person at this building took a picture of Tower 1 after it had been hit, and just so happened to catch the second plane approaching the South Tower and the subsequent impact of that.
Now, this information was sent to us by somebody that we find very, very reliable.
Well, it's a 9/11 researcher.
Right. So we asked him, and what he does is he's a photographer.
Professional photographer.
Right. That's what he does for a living. And I said, point blank, is this photo photoshopped? Is it faked? Is it forged? He says, I've gone over it every which way you can. He said, this photograph isn't fake.
This is exactly what he said. I see no evidence on very close examination of any image manipulation, no rearranged pixels, etc. He says, the film looks to be that it was developed and then scanned, and then the person who developed it sent the scanned images to other people.
Right. So, this is somebody that does photography for a living. He said, if this photograph was faked, he knows everything there is to look for. And these are right in this little video we did, right on the Wink TV homepage, center column bottom. Okay.
Yeah, and he says these images, in his professional opinion, are 100% authentic images taken from One State Plaza, New York City.
Right. So what we have now is two different camps. And I'm going to get back to Morgan Reynolds. I know I left that hanging. But we have two different camps. One is the Web Fairy Holmgren Nico camp that says no planes hit the towers. It was all TV fakery. It was all... See, before they were saying it was all holograms, and they were as 100% certain about the holograms as they are about the TV fakery, but they realized the hologram was a bunch of bogus crap, so now they're on the TV fakery. Now, the other camp, like Morgan Reynolds, which is more reasonable, says that they're not convinced that a Boeing 767 hit the towers. Now, anyone that reads 9/11 Evil knows that we could have remote control planes, Dov Zakheim's involvement about the tanker planes and the leases he made from this from this Air Force base in Florida. And if you would ask me, am I 100% certain that it's a Boeing 767 that hit the towers? I'd say no, because I don't know the difference between a 767, 757, and so forth, especially from these pictures. I do know, I am 100% certain, that a flying aircraft hit the towers. And beyond that, I don't know why there's any other debate. But I asked Morgan, okay, towards the end of our conversation, I said, pretend you're on CBS News tonight, the whole world's watching. And I'm going to ask you two questions. First of all, what hit those towers on the morning of September 11th? And he said three words, I don't know. Okay, fair enough. Then I said, are you willing to say then at this point that no flying object hit those towers? Okay, let me repeat. I said, are you willing to say that no flying objects hit that tower on the morning of 9/11? He says, no. And that's fair enough, okay? What he's trying to say is he's discounting the government's version of events that a Boeing 767 hit those towers. And that's fair enough. There should be more research into this. And if you read his articles, I think you'll see it. Now, if anybody goes beyond, if anybody goes beyond this, and the person we're referring to as the professional photographer, it's Russell Pickering. Okay, so we're not trying to be all secretive. Russell does as meticulous work as anybody does. So
absolutely.
So, now...
Wait, I want to get back to Russell for a second.
Go ahead.
Russell's analysis of the series of photos that are in our video clip. Remember, they're the first five photos, and the one in particular we want you to look at is the one of the people looking at this second plane approaching the South Tower. And it's the only one where you see the people standing in the office building window looking out at this plane approaching the tower. All right? This is what Russell had to say in his analysis. For somebody to fake an image angle like this and be able to duplicate the exact explosion, smoke, and debris pattern is almost 100% impossible, especially when you factor in the various different angles, shots, and lens differences just within the series of photos that Russell sent to us, which are the first five that he sent, that are in our video clip at the beginning. So if you watch it from the beginning and you want to see the whole series, again, just start our clip again at the beginning. But the first photo of the people looking out the office building window at One State Plaza is repeated throughout the clip, just so you can see it more than once.
Now, when I was talking to Morgan, and he knew that our conversation was going to be made public because he told me, he says, when I talk to you, I know I'm talking to the world. In other words, we don't keep things under our hats here. If we have news, we're going to relay it to you. Okay, so I said, Morgan, what about all of the different photographs from all of the different photographers, from all of the different angles?
What about
angles?
The people who saw it live with their eyes?
Right. I says, all of these different photographs from all of these different angles. I says, what about all of these different photographs? He says, I don't care about them. Now, that answer's not good enough for me.
Right, we do care about it.
Yeah, and these photographs came not only from mainstream sources, but from everyday people on the street.
Right.
One of our best buddies, Visigoth, tells a story about how one of his wife's relatives was up there in New York City. This person isn't on a big conspiracy. This is an everyday person that lives an everyday life. He saw with his own eyes the planes hitting the towers. Okay?
He saw both of them?
Well, the second one. The second one, okay? He saw the second tower being hit. All right? Now, this guy isn't in on a conspiracy. He's not there to try to push forward some sort of agenda. He just signed, and Viz says, if he's telling me this, then that's good enough for me. Now, I know that we don't rely on eyewitness testimony as much as physical evidence. I realize that. But how do we account for all of these different everyday people?
Rescue workers.
Yeah.
Law enforcement. Firefighters. There are numerous reports of people seeing, feeling, and hearing the planes.
Why? And even more important are the photographs. The photographs are
right
out there. Now, here's another good story. When we were down in Washington, D.C. this spring, actually it was Alexandria, Virginia. We were there to cover the Moussaoui trial and cover the press conference by the Scholars for 9/11 Truth. Well, afterward, Webster Tarpley was talking to Professor Jim Fetzer about this. And he was trying to shoo us away. He didn't want us...
Well, he actually dismissed me while Professor Fetzer and Webster were walking across a street. He literally dismissed me and said, leave the professors to talk. Leave the scholars to talk.
Like,
and he
was
pretty rude about it.
So much above us.
He was pushing a no plane at the World Trade Center tower agenda. And I said, Webster, what about all the people who witnessed the plane hitting the South Tower with their eyes, live, not on a TV screen? And this is what he said to me. What people?
Yeah.
What people? That's what he said to me.
So
I've never seen a street in New York City on a morning of a weekday that had no people on it.
Yeah.
Let alone the morning of 9/11. It was a bright, sunny day in September. And it was a work day.
The biggest city in America. And he says, what people? So if we take an analysis of that statement, that means no people saw any planes, either the first or second tower, anything?
Camera shots, the various camera shots from all kinds of different people, both mainstream and independent and just everyday regular people, they don't count. The people who saw it live, well, they don't exist. They don't count either.
Yeah.
What does count?
Everything, according to these people, every single person that either saw this or photographed this or recounted this is part of the conspiracy.
Now,
is part of some big fakery.
That's why we want you to look very closely at the series of images in our video clip. Look at the shot of the people who were looking out the office building window at One State Plaza, who snapped this photo, and then the subsequent series of the impact and explosion.
And
afterward.
There's even diagrams in there from Russell showing the vantage point where this office building was,
right,
showing the lens angle out the window of the towers, and on and on and on. What it is it's a mass insanity, and it's all being perpetrated primarily by three people, a delusional person, a madman, and someone that's so disassociated from reality that they believe, I think, or they either believe this or they're very well paid off.
Well, this is what Russell said. If CGI was used at the towers, then somehow this private series of photos exactly replicates what was created on video, which is pure effing insane nonsense.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Do you hear what we're saying here? This is nonsense. This is a mass delusion, and it's such an injustice to this 9/11 truth movement that's tried so damn hard. And
this has actually been debunked by Justin Stark, who is also a professional photo person, too. And I asked him about this originally, and he concurs with Russell's comments also. And I contacted some other professional photograph and video experts.
Oh, didn't you at Penn State?
Yeah. And after they quit laughing about the whole notion of it, they thoroughly refuted it
right.
as being bogus.
Just think of how many different photographs taken from so many different vantage points.
They even asked me, Victor, what about the people who saw it live with their eyeballs?
Yeah.
How do these people who are pushing this no plane at the towers agenda explain this? And the answer is they don't explain it. You know what they do? They ignore it. They say that, well, they act like it. These people never existed. Their opinions and perspectives and what they witnessed and their testimony on this issue, it doesn't matter. And, you know, the only thing they want to keep pushing forward is this butter plane crap.
Yeah, and they have all kind of little comic book words, just like
yeah.
Web Fairy had when she was pushing her hologram.
Remember,
thing.
The very first thing she was pushing was the UFOs
yeah.
hit. I mean, she was calling them a what's-it.
Yeah, and we have an
These
article.
Are scientific terms, what's
yeah.
it?
We have an article on our in our archives about all the different comic book words that they use, flying elephants and what's-its and butter planes, and it's so ridiculous. I listened to Nico's interview when he was on Visigoth's show, and I thought, I'm going to go into this with an open mind. Maybe he can change my perspective. I listened to this interview, and it was so convoluted, it was so much gibberish, it was so much pure, unadulterated nonsense that I couldn't believe that an entire hour was wasted on it. And even Viz, afterward, was, how did he describe it?
He said it was unintelligible and incoherent.
Yeah. You know, and this is the host himself saying this, unintelligible.
Nico actually sent me an email saying, well, your friend Visigoth seems to have more of an open mind than you. He had me on his show. And I said, actually, Visigoth said your interview was incoherent and unintelligible, Nico, and I got no response to that.
Yeah, so the most basic fundamental questions, how do you explain all of these hundreds and thousands of people, maybe more in New York City, that saw this plane, because the first tower was hit, 12 or 13 minutes before the second tower was hit.
And look,
people
after the
were
first
looking.
One, after the first one hit, even more people would have been
right.
out on the street.
Right.
There would have been pandemonium.
There was tens of thousands of people on the street
but
at that time.
But yet we're supposed to believe...
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody right. saw anything of the sort.
And all the different photographs from all the different angles, from all the different people, we discount that too and act as if it doesn't matter. This is pure insanity.
People saw the plane approach the second tower from different vantage points, different heights, different perspectives, different distances, from out on the street, from office buildings way up high. People saw it from all angles.
Yeah.
There's no way nobody saw planes hitting the towers.
And here's what we're afraid of, to bring this whole thing to a conclusion. If there's a discussion of this ludicrous information at the National Press Club in D.C., September 6th, 5 days before the 5th anniversary of 9/11, and if the mainstream media is there, and they latch on to, if they say scholars for 9/11 truth or 9/11 researchers think no planes hit the tower, and they blanket the country.
They lump us all under this one umbrella, and this is a perfect way to discredit the whole truth effort.
Guess what?
It's just another in a series of little straw man theories, weak little theories, junk science, that have been pushed forth over the last few years, trying to discredit the whole truth effort. And we just don't see any reason why this needs to grow any legs whatsoever.
If it had any merit whatsoever.
First of all, Isn't it hard enough to make the mainstream Joe Q public believe just that our government was involved in this horrific crime that happened on our soil?
But I mean,
it's hard enough to make regular people believe this stuff as it is.
I mean, I don't shy away from conspiracies, but I shy away from conspiracy theories that are preposterous, that are so freaking insane that they're laughable. And that's what this is. Planes hit the towers. And if the mainstream media, they're on their heels right now. The government's on their heels. They're reeling against the ropes because they know we have them nailed. And their last ditch effort is to take this no plane bullshit and blanket the country with it, lump us all together and say, well, look what the 9/11 researchers think now. No planes hit the towers. And that...
These are the same people who brought you the hologram theory. These are the same people who brought you the what's-it theory.
Yeah.
The UFOs.
Yeah.
These are the same people who bring you these straw man theories that can be easily knocked down and that have been debunked over time by various 9/11 researchers. If this had any merit, you would see it being expounded upon and hammered away at by every talk show host, or almost every one of them. You'd see all the 9/11 researchers and activists screaming it from the rooftops, but what you're seeing is a small group of people trying to hammer it into everybody else's psyche.
It's a delusion. It's a delusion.
Well,
it's a disassociation.
As Russell said, it's pure, effing, insane nonsense.
Yeah. These people are so disassociated from reality that they're convincing you. They're trying to convince people.
Well, they're not convincing that many people.
Yeah.
They're convincing
most people think it's a joke.
That aren't thinking critically about what they're being told.
Yeah.
And they try to make themselves sound convincing, but they've already been debunked by some very critical thinkers. And those people, they are government ops.
Yeah.
Because once they've been, pretty much handed their hat on this whole subject, then they just move on to the next group of people who aren't so critical in their thinking, and they try to sway them. And what they're trying to do is change the perception of the public. What is the purpose of this? What does it accomplish? We already know the mainstream media lied. We already know. Don't we have enough with the controlled demolition?
But Lisa,
don't we have enough with all the other things that we have to use that are solid? This is just insane.
That we have to chase. It's like a wild goose chase. This isn't legitimate. And if it was legitimate, if no planes hit the towers, believe us, we'd be pursuing it. But final say so. Final word on this subject. Planes hit the towers. And if you want to buy into this mass delusion, this mass hoodwinking, then feel free.
By the way, we need to say too that the people who are pushing this have also manipulated video and images themselves.
Right. Admittedly.
Out, admitted to manipulating a video clip that he sent around, and he didn't bother to tell anybody he did that when he sent it around.
Yeah.
He said it afterward. Rosalie Grable, who calls herself the Web Fairy, the supposed aging grandmother in Chicago, she is also very well known to manipulate still photographs and videos. So we've got two people who are involved in this who themselves manipulate footage, yet they're accusing others of doing that very thing. So ask yourself, how much credibility do these people have? Remember, they pushed bogus theories on us time and time again before with the same ferocity, with the same viciousness that they are now, with the same persistence. And those have been clearly and well debunked. In fact, Web Fairy backed away from her whole hologram theory a year or so ago.
Yeah, and then they just replaced it.
She was so ridiculed. Right, and this is the new substitute theory du jour. It's a junk theory. It's bogus. It has no reason, no merit to grow legs whatsoever.
This is on the same level as Art Bell's Shadow People. And if you want to believe in Shadow People, then go ahead and believe that no planes hit the towers.
Well, the different thing about the Shadow People is that you didn't have thousands of people on the street and from all different vantage points and see Shadow People. You just have a person here or there who claims to have seen them, no proof whatsoever. That's totally different than what happened on 9/11. There were thousands of witnesses. Thousands.
And many, many photographs.
On a bright, clear, sunny September morning in 2001.
When every single eyeball in any vicinity was looking directly at those towers. Every single person that was anywhere near the towers was looking up in the sky at that time because they were looking at the smoke and flames coming from the first tower.
So we thank Justin Stark and we thank Russell Pickering. We thank every 9/11 researcher out there who has spent the energy and attention and time to put this matter in its place. It belongs in the bin with the rest of the holograms and the what's-its and the flying pigs and all of that nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't know what else we can say. That's it.
It's ridiculous. We're going to be back tomorrow on Wing TV. We're going to talk about the murder of John F. Kennedy Jr. Very, very interesting subject. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you all then.